Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can do better than that. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You done good. Okay. Let's talk about this for a second. If you see, who believes in Jesus? Well, I'm talking to the choir this morning because you're all here, right? But when you go out in the real world right now, how many times do you hear Jesus spoken about in a positive manner? Not a lot. I just got done reading an essay that was on MSN, 2 days ago. Anyway, it's from the New York Times, talking about that the church is not true because so many things in the church were from pagan influences. Gee, Sherry, I even took a bath this morning. But is that true? Sure it is. Why? Well, let's put it this way. When you're trying to change a culture, and I think our church fathers were fantastic on that, the people are going to celebrate the pagan holidays, right? So instead of fighting it, change it from a pagan to a Christian reason for celebrating. Within a generation then, there's no more pagan celebration. It's a Christian celebration. They would take and put the Christian churches on the places where the pagan temples were. Why? That's because where they went to church. All right? So keep on going to church there. It's a Christian church. Early fathers knew it was going to take time. You got to have patience. Do you think right now God has patience with us? Yeah, oh boy, does he. Edmund Burke said the only way for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing, 1750. But yet, how do we change a culture? Good question, isn't it? There was a Methodist college, and I think in Tennessee, that had a church service one night. And after the church service, 300 of the students stayed and didn't go home. They continued to worship. That continued for 3 days. Constant worship. Until the administration got involved with it and tried to control it, and it died. But look at it this way. It was an outpouring of love for our Lord and Savior by the next generation. How many times have we talked about, oh, the kids don't know anything today? I mean, let's face it, how many miles did they have to walk through the snow to go to school? But when we start looking at this kind of thing, it's exciting, isn't it? Texas A&M. Baptist ministry just baptized 200 students. 500 students of all denominations went to the baptism. Now, I don't know about you, 500, 200, that's 700 young Christians celebrating Jesus Christ. Is there hope for the next generation? Of course there is. I look at this kind of thing and I think, you know, God's got patience. Anytime that you're looking at history, it's a pendulum that goes back and forth, right? Okay. Right now that pendulum is so far to the left, I was wondering how it's ever starting to gonna come back. But now I'm looking at it, starting to come back, isn't it? One of the things, I got to show you this book over here. And nobody's ever looked at this. Okay. And it got water damage. Doggone it. American Aurora. Newspaper in Philadelphia at the start of the revolution was the Aurora. And what they did is they had political commentary. If you go through and you look at the political commentary, now I just what? All right. I just opened this up. All right, April 23rd, 1778. Word is out that in Philadelphia that France has signed an alliance with the United States. After dinner, we went to the French Academy of Sciences and heard Mr. D'Ambert, as Secretary Perpetual, pronounce eulogies on several of their members lately deceased. Voltaire and Franklin were both present, and there presently arose a general cry that Monsieur Voltaire and Monsieur Franklin should be introduced to each other. This was done, and they bowed and spoke to each other. This was no satisfaction. There must be something more. Neither of our philosophers seemed to divine what was wished or expected. They, however, took each other by the hand, but this was not enough. The clamor continued until the explanation came out. Il faut s'embrasser à la française. To the two aged actors upon this great theater of philosophy and frivolity then embraced each other by hugging one another in their arms and kissing each other's cheeks. And then the tumult subsided, and the cry immediately spread through the whole kingdom, and I suppose over all Europe, and that's again in France. How charming it was. Oh, it was enchanting to see Solon and Sophocles embracing. You know, do you detect just a note of sarcasm in that? Some of them are not even a note, especially when you talk about King Adams, because John Adams wanted to be considered king, and they shred him in here. Folks, politics has never been different. It's always been this way. But yet, when we look at what we have in this country with freedom of religion, isn't it important? Well, I think so too. But, you know, we just studied in our Bible study class, what do you think of Jesus? And what we found about Jesus is he's not just an historical figure, he was a real man. Okay? One of the things, when I'm going to read this here in a minute, but we know that Jesus hung out with the hypocrites, right? What are hypocrites? Well, if we look at it with today's meaning, it's somebody who acts differently from what they really believe. In this time period of the Bible, a hypocrite was an actor. So Jesus is hanging out with the artsy folks. Now, you can't tell me that Jesus is not drinking a little wine with them, eating a little good stuff, telling jokes. He was a man. Now, let's look at this for a second. I'm in the epistle lesson, and I'm on page 4, if you want to read this with me. I'm starting in verse 12, where it says, lights in the world. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why would you work your salvation with fear and trembling? Do you have anything to do with your salvation? No. Salvation comes from the cross and Jesus, doesn't it? Look at the next sentence. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So when we take, you know, who believes in Jesus? If it wasn't for Jesus, would we have salvation? No. Okay? Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Sound familiar? We're talking about the human condition. Is anything new? No. Do you remember what the word epistle stands for in Greek? It comes from epsis. Anybody remember? Hope. The epistles are letters of hope. So when I read this epistle and I see this, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you tell people you do? Now, I know you don't go out to people and say, you know, if you died tonight, where would you go? Although I had a pastor years ago that told me that's what we were supposed to say. What are you trying to do? Force him away, or are you inviting him in to meet Jesus? Okay. But the mission world is out there, isn't it? So how do we share Jesus, the one we believe in, out there? Okay, what does this tell us to do? Among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do you do that? You live your life as Jesus wants you to live. And again, our Baptist friends, what would Jesus do? Stop and think about that for a second. Isn't that good for all of us to consider? What would Jesus want us to do? Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Remember, the Bible says that the race is over. When we become Christians, that race is over. Think about that for a second. What do you have to do for salvation? Nothing. It's freely given, isn't it? But you remember what I talk about, what Luther said about the cross. We are a conduit. All right. First of all, salvation, love, joy, peace comes to us through the cross. Okay, Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Now, after they come to us, what has to happen? It has to go from us onto somebody else. Now, what did Jesus do on the cross? He made a sacrifice to forgive us of our sins. Okay? So through Jesus, our sins are forgiven. What if we don't forget or forgive someone else their sins? Think about that for a second. What Luther said is, if we don't allow that conduit to pass through us onto others, then we are no longer forgiven. There's a book over there that says what Luther says. All you got to do is look up on salvation and forgiveness, and that's where I got it. Think about that for a second. Forgiveness, love, peace, joy, happiness has to go through us onto others. Isn't that a good goal for us to do as Christians? To share the love of Jesus Christ with those around us. Remember when I met Pastor Danny? We were in the Publix parking lot. And he was having trouble. He had his groceries, he had his walker, and he was real dizzy. He went to put his stuff in the car and started to fall. I saw it and ran over and caught him. And he says, "Thank you, brother." He said, "I'm Chaplain Danny Oakes." And I said, "Well, I'm Pastor Steve Dyker." Okay? Look what a chance meeting like that. Now, you got to remember, what's his background? Pentecostal. Now, he's not here this morning because his back is really hurt, and he called me. All right, stop and think about this. We have a Pentecostal minister who's coming to this church because he loves this church. What is that telling us? Is Jesus here? Is the Holy Spirit here? Do you believe that? Then what's the next step? Share it with those out there. And you don't have to go in a street corner and do that. You know, many times I'm at the grocery store, and when I'm out, I can see an old lady who's trying to pick her groceries up, put them in the car. So I just go over and help her, okay? Or an older guy. Am I showing the love of Jesus? Yeah. Invariably, they ask, well, thank you. That is so nice. Hi. And they'll introduce you and themselves. And when they do, I said, hi, I'm Pastor Steve Diger. Really? So you're a pastor? Yeah. Where do you pastor? I said, Our Savior Lutheran Church in El Jardin. Show the love of Christ. That is just as strong a witness, because you are showing his love. You're not telling his love. See the difference? Okay. When we talk about here, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Are we working for his good pleasure when we do that? Of course. Do you have to do it, or do you want to do it? Want. You don't have to earn your way into heaven. It's already done for you. So, when we talk today about who believes in Jesus, if I ask you that, how many of you are going to raise your hands? All of you. Because you do. And like I said, I'm preaching to the choir. Now, here's what I'm going to urge you to do. By the way, since Pastor Don's back with us, you know we have people that are following your admonition to read the Bible in 1 year? Yeah, they've been talking about it. When is that going to be done?
Whenever you
want to start it. Pastor Don said, if you read the Bible in a year, he'll take you out to lunch.
Well, I changed my mind.
But part of the thing is, too, he gave you a challenge. Can I give you a challenge? Share the love of Christ with one person this week. Didn't have to be big. Just go out and help somebody. You don't even have to open your mouth. Just do. Why? Because you want to share Jesus. And I think that's a good goal for the week. May this love of Jesus keep your hearts and minds on the salvation he earned for us on the cross. Amen.